Welcome, test subject, to the Stick Twiddlers podcast. We hope you enjoy.
Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Stick Twiddlers podcast. I'm Al and I'm joined once again by Ben. I play games on a Mac. Come at me, bro. Cordell.
Hi.
And Jamie, I totally got Master Chief's face tattooed on my arse. McClellan.
And I did too.
And back by popular demand, we are once again graced with the presence of Sarah. One day I'll manage to actually play a video game, Dyer.
Hello.
So how are you all? Did you have a good Christmas? Was old jolly Saint Nick kind to you all?
My bell was thoroughly jingled.
There's a mental image.
I got twatted on Jack Daniel's fudge and it was brilliant.
Jack Daniel's fudge?
Yeah, man, it's the future. It's the future of alcohol.
What?
And fudge.
Fudge-based alcohol.
Yeah. Don't knock it till you've tried it.
I think I had rum and raisin fudge once. It's probably...
Oh, mate. No, it's shite compared to that.
Really?
No, it's good compared to that. See, I've had too many already. I finished the box today. I'm done.
God. What about you, Sarah? Good Christmas?
Yeah, it was really good. I actually managed to play a game and finish it.
Fucking hell.
Hey! Final Fantasy?
No, it was The Room 2.
Ooh.
On iPad. It's so good.
I know. Mandy got the first one and we played it together and we started the second one but haven't finished it yet. But it looks absolutely gorgeous. Have you done the bit with the crossbow yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the one bit I was allowed to play. Maddie is always like, let's play The Room together. And I sit there and watch. And then I get to do the crossbow. And that's it. That's my contribution to The Room.
I've never even heard of it.
Oh, mate.
Don't play Chapter 4 before you go to bed. That's all I'm going to say.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Gets really weird.
Mm. How scary can an iPad game be?
Oh, there was a really fucked up one that we played not so long ago, and it was made by this Dutch lot, and it was all about babies drowning in a lake.
Was it?
What?
Was it Year Walk?
Year Walk, that's the one, yeah. Year Walk is completely fucked up. We played that before bed, I was terrified. I don't scare too easily, but yeah, that game really fucked me up. There's like dead babies and voodoo and... Yeah, some really weird shit in there. It's a really well put together game. It's got like a really, really good backstory. But yeah, if you're looking for a really fucked up iPad game, yeah, get Year Walk.
Jesus. Quite well.
That's a nice festive <stuff. laughs>
Yeah, drowning babies.
Yeah, fake Christmas, dead kids.
Did the presents, I guess.
Did you get anything Halo related, Jamie?
No, I don't think I got anything video game related this year.
I got some Halo Mega Blocks.
Oh. Son of a bitch.
I got World of Warcraft Mega Blocks.
It's Call of Duty Mega Blocks.
What?
No, that is a cheap rip-off called MY Bricks.
Oh, is it? Is it not actually Mega Blocks? It's some... it's crap. Like, it's just... I'm like, why would you want, like, a Mega Block set of Nuketown?
Honestly, to be honest.
There are just fanboys everywhere just foaming now. Just like, there's a Mega Blocks version of Nuketown. That's amazing. That's
quite good. I was going to try and get...
Lego dog.
I was going to take some of the Minecraft Lego, but that's so expensive.
Well, Lego in itself is really expensive. We bought a big box, like, earlier on this year, and it was just like, it's the one that comes, like, in a big blue tub. And it was like, I think it was like 60, 70 quid. Like, just for, it's like, it's plastic bricks, man. Like...
Yeah, they are pretty good. You know, you can find Lego from when you was a kid and it's still fine. I mean, it's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. It lasts forever. Like, after, you know, end of the world, it'll be John Cleese, Morgan Freeman, Stanley in the big box of Lego.
Riding around on cockroaches.
Yeah. Genius.
And Bruce Forsyth, he'd probably be there as well.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Well, you're not going to be there.
That is true. Mate, will his puppeteer still be alive, though?
Makes me laugh is he's always on Strictly Come Dancing, and then he's on like the first episode, then he just has a break until the final, normally.
He must make good money off of it.
Probably.
They put him back in the cryogenic chamber. They can only have him out for 30 minutes at a time before he starts decomposing.
Oh, hang on a minute. What is this that I hear approaching?
I am the ghost of Christmas past. You must tell me what memories still haunt you from your childhood.
Oh, well.
It's James' drunk uncle.
Yeah. So, apparently, this fine spirit in front of us, I'm really trying to act this now. This fine spirit. Well, apparently, this fine spirit in front of us wants to know what memory pains our Christmases of ye olde times have passed.
Was it delivered by Royal Mail? Because it's like 3 days late.
Well, apparently so. Yeah. So
Amazon primed it.
So what? What?
The ghost survived my drone.
Santa drones.
God, say so. What memory do you have? And we'll put this to Ben first. What memory do you have that sticks in your mind to this day of a Christmas when you was a young whippersnapper? Could be a good memory, could be a bad memory, I guess.
What, gaming related? Well, I take it as gaming. Well, we're a gaming podcast. I'm just going to talk about my dad left. It was horrible. No, that wasn't a Christmas. That was my birthday. Oh, God. I think this was Christmas. It could have been my birthday, but it was when I first got a PlayStation 1, and it was I was quite late to the game on it, if I remember rightly. I think it was like a couple of years. Without sounding too bumming everyone out too much, yeah, we weren't the most well-off family. So it was kind of a big deal.
To sell her body just to make...
I hope not. That'd be... Oh, God. But yeah, I got a PlayStation 1. Obviously, I was over the moon. Like, it was, you know, it was a PlayStation 1. Everyone was going nuts for it. So, but the one game I got with it was Adidas Power Soccer 97.
Oh, Jesus. Wow.
So, like, I mean, at that age anyway, I hadn't really expressed any interest in any sort of sport, which you could probably take a good guess at just by looking at the size of me. So why I'd want to play a virtual version of said sport was kind of beyond me. So I basically, as I said, we weren't massively well off. So I basically had that one game to play until I could afford a new one. And that second game that I bought was Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace.
Jesus Christ.
Which I spent all of my birthday money on.
Adidas Power Soccer.
Soccer 97. All I remember is that I just kept getting my team kicked off and would lose every game because I would just hack the goalkeeper and then they would just instantly get red carded. Or you could just make it ridiculous. You could actually, I'm sure there was a setting you could set the referee to blind. So you could just hack down the entire opposite team and you would finish games at like 40-0.
Jesus. See, with them, like, tacking the 97 on the end, it's almost if they expect, you know, this is going to be the new franchise. Mm. We're going to have Adidas Power Soccer 98, 99.
I don't know how long the series went on for. I mean, I didn't, as I said, it's a repressed gaming memory, so I pushed it quite far down. But yeah, that was, like, it was great getting a, oh, God, my voice went weird then.
It's the memory of Adidas.
Choking up. I'm literally, there was bile and vomit in the back of my throat just saying the name. Yeah, like obviously I was chuffed to bits getting a PlayStation. And I had that console for years and years and years. But yeah, the first game, I basically then just went and bought official PlayStation magazine every day, every time it came out. Just to get the demo discs. I think I played like the Toonbee demo over and over and over again. So that was, yeah, that was most of my foray into console gaming, like at that generation for a long time.
Christmas Day, like, oh, I've got PlayStation. Then opening the game, like, yeah, I did this.
Power Soccer 97.
Thanks, Mum.
Thanks. Yeah. And then I'd sat there and played it in my knockoff Manchester United shirt wearing shin pads. I didn't know. I was like, it was the future of video games. I thought it was so real. I thought I better get kitted up. It was mental. No, but I think the first decent game I remember getting rented was The Crow. Like, I really liked the film. My mum went mental. And she was like, this is too violent.
Wow. What about you, Jamie?
It was probably 1 year. I was given a Street Fighter watch.
Wow.
Right? But it actually had the Street... It had the Street Fighter game on the watch.
What, like an LCD one?
I was going to say, by which I mean it had a picture of Street Fighter on the watch.
I remember
and
it.
Two tiny black squares that attacked each other if you jabbed at the buttons. It was fucking a abominable. It's one of those first things. It was dreadful. And it was one of those, so I hear you're into video games now. Well, here's a video game you can carry around with you. Is it behind the watch? I don't really. But it was, yeah. I put it, I wore it, I loved it because I was too young to know better because, you know, kids are dumb. So, and I took it to school. This is, I remember being given this and being mildly disappointed, but coming to love it, took it to school after Christmas, it got stolen.
No one would take my Adidas Power Soccer 97. I left it outside the front of my house with a sign. No fucker would take it.
What Jamie means is he swapped it for two Conkers and told his mum it got nicked when she asked what it was.
No one would give me two Conkers for a Street Fighter LCD video game watch.
Oh,
they
man.
They used to be really big. The marketing companies really got into that. I remember I had like a Ribena one.
What?
There was like a Ribena LCD game, and it was like, I can't remember the gameplay exactly, but I have, in my head, it was like a bucket and you had to catch like falling grapes.
Oh,
if I remember
that
rightly.
If I never got ported to live, I'll never know.
But yeah, I remember the old Game and Watch and then the subsequent rip-offs.
Why do you like play obscure games? Adidas Power Soccer 97, the Ribena Gaming Watch.
I told you, mate, I grew up poor. I took what I could get, man. What are you going to do?
But they with the watches, going back to Jamie's bloody Street Fighter watch, or it's probably called, like, Stretch Ficker. They put everything in watches. Like, they had, I remember calculator watches were huge. And then they brought out those watches where you could change the channels on TVs.
I had the Talkboy watch.
Oh, Talkboy was one of the coolest.
But that was one of the biggest disappointments I ever had at Christmas. I had seen Home Alone. I wanted the actual Talkboy. I got given the watch, which could record 20 seconds of very tinny audio. I was like, here you go, you'll enjoy this.
And you was like, yes, I can blag my way into a hotel. What about you, Sarah?
See, I'm going to break with the slightly depressing tradition we've started. And I actually have a really sweet story about my nan.
Oh, God. Go.
No, this is nice. So I already had one of the original Game Boys that my dad had given me. And for some reason, I'm not entirely sure why. I think it might have been like sort of in Ben's situation. We were really poor and I had no other games for this Game Boy other than Tetris. But for some reason, every single month I was buying Nintendo Official Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously kept seeing about Pokemon. And I kind of knew that I absolutely definitely wanted Pokemon for Christmas. I spent weeks deliberating over whether I wanted red or blue. Like, literally, I had lists of the Pokemon available in each game and I was sat studying them for days before I finally realized that I wanted blue. My
that
nan
was the Blur and Oasis of our generation.
Oh,
Pokemon,
yeah, totally.
Red or Pokemon blue.
Totally. But my nan, bless her, was so worried that she was going to get me the wrong one. She made me get the Argos catalogue. I had to write down the page number, the item number. I think I had to, like, tear the picture of the cover out of the Argos catalogue for her, write down the exact full title.
Sorry, Sarah. I didn't laugh in case the next part of the story is on the way to Argos, she got hit by a bus or something. So no. I'm trying really hard not to.
And in her will, she left me both cartridges.
No, not quite. This isn't one of those terrible Tumblr images. no, Bessa. It ends quite well. Like, no, she bought me Pokemon. I remember I spent pretty much all day on that. The following Christmas, Bessa, she even went out and bought me a Game Boy Color, so I got to upgrade, and then it all kind of went downhill from there. As in, I'm now horribly addicted to games.
Oh, right.
I also fully blame Nintendo for the fact that I'm horrendously short-sighted because I spent so long on my Game Boy playing Pokemon and the fact that I can't see anything further than about a foot in front of my face unless I have my glasses on.
Yeah. I was the same. I think we need to get together a class action lawsuit. I waited for Pokemon Yellow because I was just way too indecisive, and we went camping one year. And I was playing Pokemon Yellow, and my family owned like this big, the car was a space wagon. I can't remember what the
space wagon.
It was called a space wagon.
Oh no, that was a really car, cool. Wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was a car.
Toyota.
Toyota, yeah. Toyota, yeah. Toyota, space cruiser? Was it?
No, it was definitely called a Space Wagon.
Right, okay.
But it's filled with camping gear, filled with my family, and I'm standing there playing on Pokemon Yellow, and I didn't see the car, and it ran over my foot. So I'm standing there playing Pokemon Yellow, and a Space Wagon full of people and camping gear run over my foot. So Sarah got short-sightedness, and I got broken toes because of Pokemon.
Wow.
So yeah, I think we've got a case.
Definitely.
I've never been a big Pokemon fan, to be honest. I still own Pokemon Red, actually. I found my old Game Boy Advance. I think it was a Game Boy Advance. You know the one that's like a square that flips open?
Was that SP?
Game
Boy Advance SP.
Yeah, yeah. In there was Pokemon Red. But I don't really have an interest in Pokemon, to be honest.
I think if you weren't a certain age when the originals came out, then it's probably passed you by.
But you're saying I'm old, is what you're saying.
I'm saying you're older than me.
You're old as balls, mate.
The ancient one.
When I was a lad.
You were just a typical hipster child. You were like, Pokemon, Digimon, that's where it's at. That's the future. It'll last forever.
Now that was the real Oasis versus Blur.
Yeah, Pokemon versus Digimon. I had Digimon stickers. I remember that there was some weird, creepy sixth former who liked Digimon as well, and I was like the only other kid in my school who liked it, sort of. I like watched the TV show and had stickers. He used to come and like find me on lunch breaks just to talk about Digimon, and I'm like, I really don't give a fuck. Like, I don't care enough, and this is a bit weird. Started giving me shiny stickers.
I rate them by theme tune. The Pokemon theme tune was badass. The Digimon theme tune was shite.
I guess
is that how you rate trends and fads? Is that
well, the theme tune,
yeah,
good.
Theme tune, yeah.
Halo, great theme tune. Gears of War, not so good.
Yeah.
I guess I've got two, but they're short ones. My granddad had an Atari 2600, the Woody version, the huge one. What? What?
Just getting a boner over the Atari 2600, the wood finish.
Yeah.
Consoles don't look that good anymore.
No, it's true. So I used to go around, when I used to go around to my gran and granddad's, like we always used to play on the Atari 2600 together. And we always used to play I think it was called Galaxian, which was a bit like Space Invaders, mm-hmm. But a little bit more advanced. And, there's another game called Stampede where you had to, like catch runaway cows and all these kinds of stuff, and you used to absolutely adore it. Well, my granddad passed away, I think I was about 8 or 9, and I didn't really understand that it passed away and stuff. I probably should like edit in some violins here.
Sad Hulk music.
I didn't really understand that. I kind of did, but kind of didn't. I was 8 or 9. And for my Christmas that year, my gran got me an Atari 2600, like the new version, the tiny one. Not the Woody one, like the new version. I was like, yeah, that's so cool. It came in one game, Pitfall.
Pitfall.
Yeah, Pitfall was awesome. And I was so happy, and I was playing it. And like, I started to get a bit upset. So then I was like, I wanted to play with granddad on his and stuff, and he's not here now. And then my grand went into the bag. She came out with all my granddad's old games. And she's
like, they'd stuffed your granddad.
Yeah. And wheeled him out. Alan. And they wheeled him out and put a controller in his hand. and she gave me all my old granddad's games. I was really happy. So that's something that's always stuck with me. But the one that pisses me off,
is that they're all dusty and none of them worked.
Yeah. I might get the dates or times wrong, but I think I was about 14, 15, maybe.
So when was that, 1862? Yeah,
it was just after the Black Death had been cured. I lost
half my classmates to the plague.
I was in secondary school anyway. And I was always like, you know, I was probably like you guys. My family weren't the richest. We had enough, but we, you know, we didn't have the latest thing. So I was always kind of a generation behind with video games, in terms of consoles. And then one year, it was when the Nintendo 64 came out. I got a Nintendo 64 for Christmas. And like, you know, I thought this was this was, I basically just jumped two generations. It was like, go from the PS2 to the PS4. I was like, fuck me, this is amazing. After Christmas, went back to school, and I was telling everyone, like, oh, yeah, I've got, like, a Nintendo 64, and nobody believed me. Like, not a single fucking soul, but they're like, fuck off, Al. What are you talking about? No, you haven't. We haven't got them, so you definitely haven't got one.
My uncle works from Nintendo, and he said yeah. that it's not even out yet.
So I was like, no, totally, yeah, like, come to my house. Like, I'll show you. So came down, like about three or four of my friends sort of walked back home from school my way, past my house. And I was at that age where you sort of had to ask your mum if someone could come in. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, can my mates come in? And they go, no, fuck off, because I'm cooking dinner or whatever. So, yeah, exactly, right? So I went in and I was like, mum, can my mates come in and like look at Nintendo 64? And she was like, no, because you're going to have your dinner and stuff, and you've got homework to do. She's like, oh, shit. So I came outside and was like, do you know the bay windows like that house has had?
Yeah.
So we had a bay window in the living room, and the Nintendo 64 was, I turned it on, it was on the TV. I said, all right, come to the window and you can see my Nintendo 64, right?
And only two bits of Gardner.
And these my mates are stood at the window, peering in, can see Nintendo 64 on the floor, Mario 64 on the TV, and they're going, nah, it's not real. It's fake. You've just
a hologram.
They were like, you've recorded Games Master or something and put it on TV. I was like, no. And like, they wouldn't believe me for months and months and months. Even though they'd seen it, I brought out the box to them. I was like, look, no, you ain't got one. No, it's fake.
N64, the unicorn.
To this day, that pisses me off. That they could fucking stood next to it. I'm like, look, I've got one. They're like, no, you haven't. No, we haven't got one, so you haven't got one. So yeah, so that pisses me off, motherfuckers. Not that I'm bitter or anything.
Thanks, Ghost of Christmas Past, for thoroughly bumming us all out, you dick.
Yeah, what a knobber. Oh, hang on a minute. I think his little mate is coming here.
Oh, hello there. I am the Ghost of Christmas Present, and I require you to tell me a story of a memory that you've had this year. Goodbye.
Oh, right, okay. So, looks like we're going into the present now. And as he just said there, which I'm sure all of you could hear.
It was magical.
Yeah. Wants to know our most memorable gaming experience this year, 2013. Not our favourite game or anything, but our most memorable gaming experience. So we'll go... We'll start with Jamie.
Lego Marvel.
Oh.
Lego Marvel has got to be topping the list because it hasn't done anything wrong and it's done everything right and it's just balls out fun.
So your best gaming experience was because it didn't make you mad?
Partly, because so many other things have. I mean, I was thoroughly looking forward to it anyway because I love the Lego games and I've played every single one and I've completed all of them with the single exception of Lego Harry Potter 2.
Indiana Jones was a bit crap.
The first Indy, I was alright with. The second Lego Indy, I got annoyed with because to max it, you had to go back through the levels so many fucking times.
I hate shit like that. It's like, well done for playing our game. Now to get the full experience, play it 7 more times.
Yeah. Play it again until you're dead, which gets a little bit tedious. So I got, by the time I got to Lego Harry Potter 2, it was still all right, but it felt a little bit too much same old, same old. And then they started to mix it up, and they threw in voice acting, and things changed, and open world, and it was Lego Batman 2 was brilliant. But I've always been more Marvel than I am DC. I've always been a bigger Marvel fan.
Good man.
And so when I heard Lego Marvel was coming, I've the minute they announced it,
what was it like?
When's Marvel?
It's like people running out of the local barn. Marvel's coming!
The Marvel gagger in town.
They've still got a town crier in Somerset.
We have.
Hear ye, hear ye.
We have a town crier. We genuinely have a town crier. He summons us all to Petonk games.
Petonk?
Petonk.
What the fuck is Petonk?
Petonk is the best game you can play with your balls.
What?
What?
In the game of Petonk, you throw a ball at a ball and try and get the ball closer to your ball than someone
That's
else's ball.
That's balls, yeah,
but
mate.
Yeah, but you do it by throwing them into a garden out of a pub window.
That's piss.
That is piss pool, yeah. The game was invented when they couldn't find cues, and they just started throwing shit around in a blind rage. That's Petonk, and it's a game that is genuinely played in this area.
Petonk.
They just throw balls out of a window into the garden.
What? That sounds like mentals.
But yeah, that's Somerset. We're all batshit crazy.
We all get shit faced and throw balls
at It does honestly sound like a couple of blokes in a pub had a lock-in, got pissed, and were like, oh, we should play a game. What have we got? Well, we've got two balls. Right, fucking invent something. What should we call it?
Oh, Barry got wasted last night and threw around Jamie's balls everywhere. It was a nightmare.
It was two guys who couldn't agree on what to play. One wanted to play darts, one wanted to play pool, so they compromised and started throwing balls.
Wow.
How did you even come up with the name Petonk?
I have absolutely no idea. But then I come from an area where ants are referred to as emmets. And if someone... Emmets, I don't know why.
That sounds like something from fucking, like, Middle Earth.
And you can refer to someone as biddle-headed and no one will blink twice. And it took me years to work out what it meant. Yeah, you big biddle-headed bastard, which means... You have a large head, I think. So
there was me thinking Scotland was weird.
Oh, you ain't seen nothing till you come round here.
Oh God,
terrifying yokels! But
what is this? A game for emmets?
So when Max's release answer was it called Emmets Him?
I dread to think. Well, it probably hasn't reached us yet.
Oh my God. So we've got Lego Marvel.
And it just baffled you.
Lego Marvel / Petonk. Apparently.
You love Petonk.
Sarah, I don't know if you played any games in 2013.
No, I did. I'm going to say all of Metal Gear Rising.
Just silence.
Yeah, no, I've never been that big into the Metal Gear series, but I heard loads of good things about it. They were like, I think it was mostly surprised that they managed to make a Metal Gear game with a protagonist that wasn't Snake, that was actually good, that people enjoyed.
I think what I liked about it was just the fact that it was so completely off its tits. From, like, for starters, you have the soundtrack, which sounds like Linkin Park and cheesy power metal and dubstep had a baby, and it actually turned out to be amazing, and I listened to it at the gym. And then, yeah, just like this, like, you grab a Metal Gear Ray by its foot and then you spin it around and you chuck it and then you slice it in half. Like,
how is Sarah? That? Jesus. Sounds
metal as fuck.
I know.
I just like the fact that, yeah, it was just completely insane, and it's like, oh, that's, I kind of think games get a bit too serious sometimes, and Metal Gear Rising was just the complete antidote to that. It just didn't care. It just did everything, which was just really very cool.
It sounds like a game made for Sarah. If you guys don't know, Sarah's, I think probably you'd call her a metal girl. I think
the correct. I suppose.
Very, very tattooed and normally quite sweary, I think is how to describe herself. I think the only thing that game's missing for you is possibly Viking bastards. I think if it had Viking bastards in there, you'd be set.
Yeah, I suppose kind of the closest game that is me would probably be Brutal Legend, apart from the fact that bits of it were really bad.
Which is on sale, I think, as well at the moment, Steve.
It is. Not played it.
Oh, Brutal Legend.
It just got marketed really badly. Like, everyone was like, this is just a real-time strategy game. It's like, it's not. It's like a first-person action RTS elements.
It was like Zelda.
Yeah.
Apart from the really bad... the RTS sequences were just awful. And there were also some quite annoying driving missions. But other than that, it was just like Zelda. But it was Jack Black and it was Tim Schafer. And it had just the most amazing soundtrack. But... Yeah, the RTS bits really, really let it down.
Cool. So, see, Metal Gear... See, that game... I'm trying to think of the name of it again. Metal Gear...
Metal Gear Rising.
There Revenge. We go. Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
Which isn't even a word.
No.
But the thing is, there's a cartoon on Adult Swim called Metalocalypse about a fake death metal band.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think they pop up towards the end of the second series. There's a terrorist group who are dedicated to killing off all of Deathclock, and they're called the Revengeances.
see that game. I like it. I enjoyed playing it probably for the first hour until it just became so balls to the wall hard that I couldn't get any further.
Oh, yeah. That's why I played it on the easiest setting.
I think I might have tried to do it. I couldn't get my head around the counter system.
Yeah, put it on the easiest setting and it does it all for you.
Oh, really?
Alan,
that's the only way I completed it.
Yeah, you're not playing European hard, you're playing Japanese hard, which is a completely different difficulty level.
It is stupidly hard, but yeah, it's good.
It's ridiculous.
It's really nice. What about you, Ben? We've got Metal Gear, Revengeance, and Petonks like Marvel.
Oh, for me would be the first time I switched characters in GTA 5. Like just watching the world zoom out and then go off to that like big Google Maps moment and then zoom back into a new character. I was like, this is fucking amazing. And then switching back and then finding those characters like either exactly where you left them or just in hilarious circumstances. I think Trevor, you always find Trevor like halfway up a mountain in his pants or something, like pissed as a fart. Michael's usually lounging by a pool or sitting in a car or coming out of a strip club. And it's just, it was just brilliant. It was just, it was like they had taken, you know, we thought, for me, it was like, you know, we come to the end of this generation. We thought we'd seen everything that this generation of gaming could throw at us. And then GTA 5 came out and was like, actually, this is everything else. This is what you could have won. And it was just, yeah, it was amazing.
Okay. So I guess for my experience would be Diablo 3 on hardcore mode for the first time. I guess it's not Diablo 3 itself, but it's the hard playing on hardcore mode where if you die, your character is effectively deleted and you can't use it again. You have to start from scratch. And that feeling of when your character dies, I'd put maybe 15 hours or something, not a long time, but you know, a decent amount of time, about 15 hours in this character, and it died due to a stupid mistake. And when you die on hardcore mode, there's a slight, maybe 1 second pause and the screen goes red and then it informs you that you have died and you have to commit your hero to the Hall of Fame and you have to start all over again. And it was just that loss, I guess, that, you know, you're not going to get that character back. It's not like another game where you can just suddenly reload a checkpoint or reload a last save. It was gone. And I guess
you have a little funeral for all your characters when they died.
It was weird, man. I sat there for a good couple of minutes just sort of staring at the screen going like, no, I don't believe it. No. And I think more games need to have that. More games need to proper punish you.
I was going to say, you know, XCOM obviously did that with the soldiers. Mm. So you get soldiers that die. I mean, Dark Souls is obviously another one as well where you kind of have a character die. Don't Starve as well, which I've been playing. You basically, once your character's dead, it's dead. Torchlight 2 had it as well, and they had a hardcore mode.
Yeah,
because I remember doing that for that gaming marathon, and I was determined I was going, oh, fuck it. And God, the amount of times I lost characters in that. You know, there's like denial, like, no, my character's not dead. Bargaining, I'll give you all my gold for the character back.
Trying to think of a way you could beat the system and get your character back. Exactly. There must be a way.
Yeah, go to the netherworld. But yeah. I mean, Diablo 3 got... I mean, it got fairly mixed reviews, like when it first launched. But I definitely agree that was one aspect that sort of really made it stand out above the rest. It was like the, you know, that permanent loss of progress. You know, it's good, but it kind of pisses you off in a way as well. Like if you've invested 50 odd hours into a character, and you're like, fuck you, mate. Especially as you said, if it's like a stupid mistake.
Yeah, I think it's
that's got to be a bit irritating.
I think it's because it's you know, it's an emotion that it invokes that other games can't do. I mean, we've all been there. We've all been playing games where you're on a difficult bit and you just kind of resign yourself to the fact it's like, oh, well, I'll just need to bash my head against the wall long enough and eventually the wall's going to fall down. And there's no real sense of challenge. I mean, you know, it's a challenge, but eventually you are going to get past that point. Whereas with this, it invokes such a sense of, I don't know, loss, hatred at the game, anger, confusion. It's kind of emotions that you don't really get anywhere else.
You sure that's not just you when you hit 30?
It's probably just me in general playing any game ever.
Yeah. What's happening? Game. Where am I?
Yeah.
Bastards.
Yeah. So there you go. You bloody knobhead. There's your answers. Go and bugger off.
So hostile to these ghosts.
I know. Oh, hang on.
Hey up.
There appears to be another darkly cloaked figure approaching from yonder.
Fuck off.
If he flashes us, I'm gone.
What do you want, oh dark souled one?
I am the ghost of Christmas in the future. Where do you think you'll be in 10 years' time?
This is our equivalent of talking to a tennis ball on a stick.
Many things.
That's even a good calling Alan a tennis ball on a stick.
Yeah. A fuzzy. He's got the fuzz for it.
True.
Right, okay. Oh, low. This is acting. And
oh god.
Lo. I'm gonna get this in.
All I can think of is the Blackadder Christmas Carol. He came, he said his piece, and he sod it off.
Okay. And lo, this I was gonna keep going. And lo, this ghost apparently wants to know what we think the future of games is going to hold. Where do we
have a fucking clue?
where do you see yourself 10 years time? Let's say 10 years time. It's Christmas Day in 2023. You're opening your Christmas presents, Sarah. What do you think you've got?
Titan. If that is what it's called. Blizzard's new MMO.
Oh yeah, that thing. Didn't that get reset?
Yeah, but basically from what I've heard, I mean, I was expecting it to get announced. Well, actually, I was expecting it to get announced on the PS4 launch event because I remember watching because I was live blogging it and I remember watching it and they were like, oh, now we're going to talk. And they brought out Chris Metzen from Blizzard on stage. And it's no secret that I'm a complete Blizzard fangirl. It's quite shameful. but yeah, they brought Chris Metzen out on stage and he starts kind of talking about what he's going to announce and he's building it up and building up. And I'm sat there going, they're going to announce Titan. Like this is it. This is what we've been waiting for like the past 2-3 years, something like that now. Mm-hmm. And I was fully expecting them to say, you know, Titan's coming out. It's going to be a PS4 exclusive. And no, it was Diablo 3, which was probably the biggest disappointment I've had this year. But
you pick the worst MMOs to get hyped for. Like Final Fantasy 14.
Come on. Titan could essentially be World of Warcraft 2. It's going to be nice. It's going to be big, I think.
Bigger pandas.
Yeah.
More pandas.
If they want to get Alan, it needs to have pandas flying planes.
Totally. Totally. I mean, I've got a panda that flies a helicopter. That's kind of the closest I can get in WoW. But yeah, Titan, I'm just looking here. In May 2013, the development process for the game was rebooted as Blizzard decided to go in a different direction. That's crazy. Like, what, 6 years? It started development in 2007. So that's 6 years. They just said, do you know what? Balls to it.
It's not like Blizzard are hurting for the cash, though, are they? They can do that sort of shit.
No, but still, 6 years of work.
I mean, it could just be maybe they've, like, completely rebooted, like, the gameplay, but they could be reusing, like, a lot of the art assets and things like that, possibly.
It's going to be a first-person shooter, calling it now.
A lot of people have said that. A lot of people reckon it's going to be... 'cause Blizzard are working with Bungie on Destiny.
Oh, calm down, Jamie.
Jamie.
I'm howling off right now.
A lot of people do think it's going to be some sort of MMORPS, which could be interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. Planetside.
I mean, Planetside's doing reasonably well, but it's free to play, so.
Well, yeah. That's the other thing. There's a lot of there's a really good theory that Titan's going to be free to play because you've got Blizzard are doing Hearthstone, and they're doing, which is going to be free to play, and they're doing Heroes of the Storm, which is their League of Legends competitor, which is blatantly going to be free to play.
It has to be free to play.
I think like, Blizzard realized that they, you know, MMOs with subscriptions just aren't sustainable anymore, and they you know, while World of Warcraft is still viable, it's slowly going downhill in terms of subscription numbers. And I don't think that they'd be willing to risk, you know, announcing, let's say it's World of Warcraft 2. You know, if they go and announce World of Warcraft 2, they're essentially going to kill off World of Warcraft. So I don't think they're going to, you know, World of Warcraft has no competitors, and I think they'd be silly to introduce a competitor themselves. So maybe
a paid competitor. If it was a free-to-play model, then it makes sense. So, you know, and then you'd, if I was Blizzard, I would be releasing that as a free-to-play, but with incentives tied to World of Warcraft, like they've done with Hearthstone. Because aren't there, like, unlockables in Hearthstone that you can use in World of Warcraft, like fucking dragons and shit?
No,
I don't know. There's
rumours of that. Not at the moment.
Okay, there must be. There absolutely must be.
Well, there are rumours that that's going to happen, but at the moment...
And they always do things like... They always do things like their collector's editions. You buy, like I got the... got too many Blizzard collector's editions, but in most of them you'll, even if it's Diablo, you've got stuff, you've got like a pet for World of Warcraft. I think you bought one of like the new Starcrafts, and you've got cosmetic items for Diablo and things like that. So
they would have to, if I was Blizzard, I would release Titans free to play, have incentives for World of Warcraft, so then you would eventually look at transferring people back to World of Warcraft. But speaking of, you were saying about World of Warcraft 2, do you think they're ever just going to reboot the entire universe, like the entire game, and just pan World of Warcraft and be like, here's World of Warcraft 2?
They kind of have.
Yeah, they kind of did with Cataclysm. They went back on all of the 1 to 60, like, original base worlds and completely redid the areas, redid the graphics, redid loads of the quests. But the thing is, and also as well for... What's the new expansion? Is it Warriors of Draenor?
Warlords of Draenor?
Yeah. There's no new playable races, but all the old races are getting completely new models.
Mm-hmm. You were really happy about that, weren't you, Alan?
Don't even get me started on that, I'll just lose my shit. But I don't know. Yeah, I think I've got a feeling that Titan's going to go the way of StarCraft Ghost. I think it's going to be that mythical unicorn-type game that eventually... They just have to come out and say, "Look, to be honest, it ain't gonna happen. We're working on something else." I generally think that's what's going to happen. I mean, when you're developing a game for 6 years, normally most games aren't even developed till they're released for 6 years. So when you've been working on something for 6 years, and then you effectively just say, "Actually, that's a pile of shit. I'm just going to start again." From scratch, we're talking at least you could probably say, okay, maybe the same sort of time scale. So that's 2019. I mean,
I think they'll do what Sarah said. They'll reuse a bunch of the assets. They'll change. They would have changed the model around it. And the,
also,
and
kind also of, those 6 years, we don't know what sort of size team's been working on it.
Yeah, could have been so two it could people.
Have been a, yeah,
Jeff.
And yeah. Also, I'm going to say it, but Half-Life 3, anyone?
Oh, yeah, that and the Pokemon MMO, yeah.
Suddenly the internet's going to explode because we've just announced Half-Life 3.
That was Valve's plan all along, was to find some new fledgling podcast, and they're just going to slip the announcement out there.
Eat it, both the studios.
What about you, Jamie? What are you gonna, don't say fucking Halo.
It's going to be Halo, isn't it? I mean, a Halo gaming watch.
Halo on a watch.
LCD.
Yeah.
So whatever version of Halo is available in 2023, I'll be hoping to have for Christmas. But what? I know pretty much what I... Yeah. I had an answer planned, and then we started talking about Warcraft, and I started thinking I need to get back to that, and I need to buy more trading cards. Blizzard have really conned me. They really have. Because I sit back and laugh at people and say, oh, you silly little things, by paying for pets in the game. And then every time I go to the town, it's like, can I have another pack of trading cards, please? I might get a dragon.
Oh, I got the chicken from those cards.
Oh, I've had nothing apart from 10% off if I want a mouse mat with my character on it. I don't even have a mouse, I have a trackpad. The fuck good is that to anyone?
So the prize you redeem is money off.
I can pay slightly less for something I wasn't going to buy.
Fucking hell.
Wow.
But, good old Blizzard.
2023, apart from the fact I'll probably just have bought an Xbox One by then. They're so fucking ridiculously expensive and I can't find anyone to take one of my kidneys off my hands.
I won't pay you for it, but just to keep around.
Yeah.
At this point, it's just going begging. You might as well. I hate to say it because it is predictable as hell, but it will be whatever shit Microsoft have churned out. Along with whatever crap 343 have thrown my way. And the continuing sagas of Destiny, because that's the one, that is the game I am most looking forward to in the future, is Destiny.
Someone in the background's really excited about it.
I know, that's Jamie's.
Can you hear that?
That's the townsfolk with pitchforks. And
someone scored a triple in Batonk. It's tragically unheard of.
He's talking to the ghosts in the computer again.
Would you like me to turn down the telly by any chance?
Sure.
Yeah. I'll do that.
Jamie's got a remote control on a wire for the TV.
It's just a very, very long stick.
What about you, Ben? What are you going to be playing in 2010? Depends what's out on the Mac, I guess.
2010? What am I playing in 2010?
2023.
I don't know. I imagine just going by the way we're going now, probably some other new level of immersive shit. I think the Xbox One and the PS4s end up looking like the old Sega Mega Drive with its 16 add-ons and its millions of peripherals. So, you know, Oculus Rift was obviously a big deal this year, so that's probably going to become a stable piece of hardware, and then they'll have, like... Do you remember, like, the old, like, vibration chest plates and stuff you used to be able to buy?
God, you're thinking it's going to be some sort of dystopian future.
It will.
Worship Patonk, Grand Overlord.
It'll all go hyper immersive. It will just be loads more tat that we have to buy in order to get the full experiences. I'm being really fucking cynical, but I think that's how it's going to be.
It will.
But in terms of what I'll be playing in 2023, probably more Scum VM point and click games and indie titles while playing Oculus Rift and Patonk. Oculus Rift Patonk.
Oh God, yeah. Oculus Rift Patonk.
I'm telling you, if it doesn't come to Kinect, they've missed a trick.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck, they brought Blackwater out. So apparently they'll make any old shit for Kinect.
Do you think we'll see a revival of, there's been a couple of, like, the Doritos Crash Course. Do you think we're going to be seeing more games like that? You know, we obviously had, like, Cool Spot back in the 90s, and
yeah, Cool Spot was awesome.
McKids,
and the Burger King game,
Burger King game, Sneak King, which you can read the bargain rages off and stick to the stock.
Ben's Ribena Watch,
Ribena Watch. So yeah, if AAA publishers are going down, is it going to be the marketing companies who are going to pick up the slack? You know, especially with indie developers, hiring indie developers to make their funny little games featuring.
That would be horrible.
I mean, who have we even got in terms of, like, mascots these days that would even sort of work on that?
I don't know. Everything's been banned, hasn't it? Like, you're not allowed to have mascots now for certain things because it might make the kids start smoking crack or whatever excuse they use.
I haven't seen crack marketing. Hey, it was Cracky the Clown.
Because wasn't Ronald McDonald banned because it made people, like, I'm sure Ronald McDonald's banned.
He's still around, I think. I just think he's not allowed to be in TV adverts.
10 meters of a charger.
He probably doesn't focus test that well anymore.
I'm going to have a look.
Could you imagine how many Ronald McDonalds, you know, went out of work the minute that announcement came in? All those fuckers that get roped in for children's parties. It's like, sorry, mate, your days are numbered.
If the marketing companies take over creating our games for us, it will be wall-to-wall fucking meerkats. it would just be horrific. Then you'd have meerconnectables, And that's what I
go compare of duty.
Okay, yeah, so cutting down the fat opera guy.
Just to update you, on the Ronald McDonald situation. Apparently there was moves to ban him, claiming that it attracted kids to unhealthy food because they wanted to go there. You know, they saw Ronald McDonald. It's like, oh, it's a happy place. Before it went through, McDonald's apparently decided not to use him as much because they wanted to market in a different direction.
Well, put Grimace at the fucking forefront. That's what you really look like after eating McDonald's.
Look at that.
Purple hemorrhoid.
I don't want to meet the child that Ronald McDonald has attracted into the fucking McDonald's. I mean, he is a soulless, dead-eyed clown with the laugh of a serial killer. And then if you find a kid that looks at that and goes, yes, mother, I'd like to go to that burger joint because I feel a kinship with the terrifying, curly-haired, white-faced goon who runs the place. That's the children of the damned.
But I guess the only mascots we've got at the moment, I'm trying to think, we've got the
meerkats, the go compare guys.
Yeah, you've got the Wonga puppet people.
Oh, God.
They're terrifying.
I like how they CG'd them, like in the second set of adverts, as if it was too much money to pay for puppeteers anymore.
I would like to see an indie game of the John Lewis advert. Some really depressing shit with Lily Allen warbling something fat in the background.
There was something like that. It was an American fast food company. I'm gonna have to. This advert came out and it was of like a scarecrow. and he works in this like dystopian future, and they're making really, really crap processed food. And there's a really heartbreaking moment where there's this really sad cow, and basically this advert went viral because it was really, really well made. It looked like something that Pixar had made.
Happened in Jamie's town.
But it just turned out to be an advert for a really, really shitty free iOS game that was really like borderline unplayable.
Well, why Sarah finds this out, we'll have a little message.
Jeff's Garage proudly sponsors this. We do MOTs and we can put new tyres on your car for winter. You've gone to the best, now try the rest. You've tried the rest, now try the best. Jeff's the best. Jeff's Garage.
And we're back, just for a couple more minutes. I think Sarah's actually found what she was looking for.
Yeah, so it was for Chipotle, who are basically kind of like Subway, but for burritos. They're a massive American company, and they're just starting to open up over here. I think they've got a couple of stores in London.
Don't they give you diarrhea?
No.
Allegedly.
I think it's Taco Bell that gives you really bad diarrhea. Chipotle is really, really good. But the whole thing with them is it's all ethically sourced, free range food and everything. But basically they did this film, and yeah, like I said, it looks like a cross between sort of the game Machinarium, which was a PC.
I fucking love that. Finished that.
It looks like a cross between that and a Pixar film. And yeah, it's all about this scarecrow kind of, you know, he lives in this horrible dystopian future and he ends up, you know, making really, really healthy food. And yeah, I mean, the trailer for it went viral and everyone was kind of amazed that it was so beautifully done. And then it just ended up being this really sort of cynical marketing ploy for a really, really shitty iPhone game. And I played the game and I was like, I nearly cried at the advert, but this game's really, this is like unplayable.
This is shit.
No, watch, the website's just scarecrowgame.com. Go and watch the film and I swear there's a bit with a sad cow that will break your heart.
Ronald broke up with me. He won't talk to me anymore. I'll put the video and a link in the show notes.
Yeah. Seriously, watch out for the sad cow. It's really sad.
That's the name of the game.
The sad cow.
Watch out for the sad cow.
Oh man.
Someone listening will know what I'm talking about.
Everyone near where Jamie lives, probably. We worship the sad cow.
Cows around here are not sad so much as slightly nervous.
We're not going to ask why.
What have you been doing?
It has nothing to do with me. Honest.
New levels of batonk involving cows.
I would say what I'd be doing. I'd probably be dead.
This is a fucking chipper podcast, isn't it?
Or my kids, because my kids at that point will be 10 and 13. So they'll probably be running up to me going, Dad, come play this new game. And I'll be like, okay, pass me the controller. And they'll be like, no, you use these mind impulse goggles. And then I'll be like, I don't know what I'm doing. What happened?
It'll be like the scene in Back to the Future 2.
Yeah.
It's like, you use your hands like a baby? That's like a baby's toy.
I'll whip out like a PlayStation 4 or something. They'll be like, oh, God, Dad, what's that? What is this? And I'd be like, use this controller. And they'd be like, ugh. So yeah, so that's probably what's going to happen in 2023. What I would like to be playing, I don't know. I'd like them to bring back some games from my childhood and reboot them. They seem to be rebooting a lot of games from, you know, sort of the last 5 or 10 years. I'd like them to, you know, go a bit further and reimagine games that could have been good had the technology been around.
Like Pog Rebirth.
Too Human. I'd go with Too Human 2.
Haven't they? I'm pretty sure Silicon Knights are broke now, aren't they?
No. I'm sure they're still. I think they're actually.
There was the whole lawsuit thing, wasn't there, against Epic around the use of the end, or like they said that they overhyped it or some shit like that, and then they sued them back, and then Epic won a shitload of money off Silicon Knights, and they had to put all their games.
Oh no! Actually, they yeah, they've got God, I'm really depressed now.
Yeah, they went bust. It was the best.
Of their money sending out apology letters. Everyone who bought a copy of Too Human got a letter saying, "Sorry, we know it wasn't what you expected. Frankly, we're disappointed too." Hugs and kisses.
Nice. Because I remember when they went bust because everyone started buying up copies of Too Human and that X-Men game because they were thought that they were going to be gold dust.
Well, one guy's apparently so the guy who founded it has left to form a studio called Precursor Games. I'm just going to find out what they're doing, because if they're working on Too Human 2 Even More Human, I'll be
Too Human 2 Even Human Harder.
Too Humaner. Let's have a look and see what they're working on.
Too Humane, sad cow.
Do you know what? The reason people don't like Too Human is because they just can't appreciate it.
Because they have
tits. No. Do you want another? I'll tell you why I don't like Too Human. Because I'll tell you exactly why I don't like Too Human. Because I started playing it and it was shit. It felt clunky, it was boring, there was probably a story involved, but I was so busy slipping into a tedium-induced coma that I couldn't figure out what it was.
Wasn't the story just like a cyber goth's take on Norse mythology?
Yes, yeah, it was true. Awesome, and the combat was wonderful.
Awful, it was shite.
The combat was not wonderful.
It was amazing. Look, just not intelligent enough to appreciate it.
I will give you the ending and the part of a trilogy idea. The ending could have led on to something, although surely when they tested it and did the QA, they must have realised that they had a failure on their hands.
No, but when I first picked it up, I admit that I had a bit of a problem with the dual stick combat. Once you actually get used to it, it's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. The itemization in that game is wonderful. There are so many different types of items you can get. It's very Diablo-esque in the terms of the items. You even get like rare and epics and things like that.
So you're basically saying it's just a shit version of a good game?
No, I'm saying it's a really good game. It didn't get enough.
It's not. The last game I can remember that used like dual sticks for kind of combat was fucking Ape Escape.
and that was really groundbreaking back in 1998.
And then nobody else did it because it was stupid.
No, it's wonderful. You just don't, honestly.
This argument, I think we're never going to resolve this because something that probably not everyone listening knows is the fact that we had this argument the first time I met you. You're obviously been talking to you, writing that with you for ages, but then met you at Eurogamer 2 years ago, and within the first hour it was, and Two Humans pretty good, isn't it? No, you're a dick. There's nothing good about Two Humans. And it's been the same thing every time I've seen or spoken to you since.
This comes up every conversation.
It's really good. Like, even the idea of, like, the god things, how they're not actually really gods, they're like cyber organisms, but because they're so far advanced than normal people, people treat them as gods. And
that's Thor. They stole that's that from Stargate. Thor.
It's so. Well, Thor copied Two Human.
Oh my god! Yeah, of course, because Two Human predates Thor.
Look, I'm telling you, Two Human, fantastic. Let's we'll have a vote. We'll let the public.
Yeah, let us know in the comments as to what you think of Two Human. Whether or not you think it's a, an absolute piece of shit, or if you're a fucking moron.
You can't load the question like
Ben, you've just alienated 1%.
frankly, if they've been long-term readers, they should know our stance on Two Human by now.
I was going to say, it's basically whenever I write an achievement punter, at some point it will pop up in there. But it's not as bad as Two Humans, so that's something.
Yeah. It is the running joke of Stick Twiddlers.
Hey, look at some of these quotes in reviews.
Oh, fucking.
A highly captivating beginning to an epic and meaningful tale about the ills of transhumanism. Wonderful, see? Wonderful. IGN found it to do a great job of keeping you engrossed in the game.
Yeah, boy, because you had to pay so much fucking attention to the juicy combat. That's why. You're like, what the fuck is this?
It's great. Well, that's it. It's done. Oh, and also, I mean, some people complained about... Well, I mean, I guess I found it a little bit annoying that every time you died, that...
The long fucking... I forgot about that. Here, watch a 2-hour cutscene of you being resurrected. Every goddamn time. At least, Dark Souls is just like, you're dead, fuck off, and then you start again. Two Humans got to make a big song and dance of it. That's the only reason it's so long. If you took out all of the death cutscenes, it would only be 20 minutes.
Well, anyway.
According to the Bible, it took Jesus 3 days to come back to life. Have I got that right? Whoever thought they should put that into a fucking game had the wrong idea.
Yeah, and Two Human doesn't get me chocolate every year, so it can fuck off.
Well, you're all wrong. But anyway, Mr. Dark Cloaked Figure, there's your answers. Go away and never darken my doorstep again.
Ooh.
Right, so yeah, so there we go. That's the Stick Twiddler's Christmas Carol. Apparently. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
A better love story than Twilight. A better game than Two Human.
Two Human. See, this is the problem. You guys are wrong about a lot of things. This is what I keep trying to tell you. Two Human was a great game. Super Mario Bros. Was a fantastic film. These are things that you just can't get into your head.
Oh my god! Mario. John Leguizamo and Bob Hoskins had to get drunk to make it through filming that.
I really liked it as a kid. Yes! But as you said earlier, kids are stupid.
No!
You were too young to know any better. And exactly. You're too old as fuck and nostalgic now to see otherwise.
I watched it about a week ago, right? I watched Super Mario Brothers, then I watched The Goonies. And Super Mario Brothers...
Watch the foul taste out of your mouth. Yeah,
Super Mario Brothers stood up better than The Goonies.
Oh, fuck! Yeah. Oh, that was coming.
It did. It really did.
You would have. Oh,
it really did. Goonies is great, but Super Mario Bros. They took a massive risk with it, changing it the way they did,
none of them paid off.
I think your favourite revel is coffee flavour.
It actually is.
I fucking knew it.
Alan, I've just found out that Precursor Games are making the Super Mario Brothers the movie video game, so you'll be pleased to hear that. I'm sure it will be a runaway success.
No, it was great. Having Yoshi as a dinosaur was inspired.
It wasn't really.
That was a 2-minute
cartoon look.
Exactly. That was so he's a dinosaur? Yeah, I guess. All right.
Sure, why not?
If anything, it was completely not inspired. It was the complete opposite of inspiration.
Exactly. Oh, it was good. It was really good. I enjoyed it.
Because you're awesome. A moron.
Them Goombas were awesome. And there was that woman, wasn't there? That woman that was trying to, like, do... was it John Cleese? No. What was his name?
You're the one who watched it a week ago. Don't ask us.
Is it Danny DeVito? Who was the...
Bob Hoskins.
Bob Hoskins. It was Danny DeVito, Bob Hoskins, whatever. She was trying to do him, and then she had little rocket boots and saved it. It was awesome. It's great. Honestly, go back and watch it, and you'll see what I mean. It's actually really good.
Or read our top 5 worst video game movies and then see where it placed.
Which I had to watch this crap before writing, or at least bits of it. I had confessed that some of it was done through the power of memory, YouTube, and industrial-grade antidepressants. Just to keep me going. But, oh...
No, it's good films. So before we go, we'll have our traditional what you're going to be doing while in the next week. So
no competition this week.
Good call, Ben. Competition. So here's the winners of last week's, and the winner of this week's podcast competition is Scott Watson. We'll be sending you an email shortly to let you know what you've won and how to claim it. And congratulations and stuff. Bye. And there you go. That's what you've won, and that's who has won. So we'll send you an email with all the details on how to get to that prize. And the question for this week is, what did Sarah's grandmother get her for Christmas? That is the question. What did Sarah's grandmother get her for Christmas before she was hit by a bus? which I honestly thought was coming.
Just to clarify, this is the present she listed in the podcast, not this year.
I was going to say, it'll be hard for her to buy me anything this year, seeing as she died.
There was no buses involved. I have to... God bless us all.
Fucking hell, this is so depressing. This is the most depressing ever.
You need to do one of those EastEnders warnings at the end. Like, if you have been affected by the issues raised in tonight's Six Twiddlers podcast...
Send an email to podcast@sixtwiddlers.com and complain to Alan. he writes the questions and doesn't tell us what's going on.
Once you have the answer to that, just email podcast@sixtwiddlers.com with the answer. You can put the answer in the title or the body of the email, whatever. I don't really mind. And I have figured out this week that I can just reply to your email. You don't need to give me your phone number or address.
You might need your address.
Yeah, maybe.
But we'll ask for it, don't worry.
So what are you going to be playing?
Your credit card number.
Yeah. we the prize is 1 million euros that was left to you by a UN ambassador. So what are you going to be playing between now and next Monday, Ben?
Probably Don't Starve. I finished Broken Sword 5. Buy it. It's brilliant. Seriously. So good. So good. Review coming.
I was thinking of getting that on the Vita, actually.
Just get it. I don't care what platform you get it on. Just fucking buy it.
Okay. So you'll be playing Don't Starve. Anything else?
Whatever else I buy in the Steam sale. Probably the Stanley Parable.
Okay. What about you, Sarah? Are you actually going to play some games? Oh, are you still doing your base, your Rocksmith?
I haven't yet, because the bass needs some work doing to it, considering that the strings on it are probably older than I am. So...
Are they up to Alan? That's the real question.
But no, I think this week I've still got some time off from work, so I think I'm going to finally get stuck into Hearthstone.
I shall play you with my Warlock deck.
Oh no, I'm absolutely... I started playing it when I kind of first got the beta for, and I'm just absolutely shockingly bad at it, so.
What about you, Jamie? Halo. We'll be playing Halo.
Oh, I wish I could.
Your Xbox is broke, isn't it? Yeah.
It is, and I have faffed about with the power brick, and it's still kaput, so I will be playing a mix of probably Don't Starve, seeing as Ben recommends it so highly.
Yeah. And send Jamie Steam games. Like, his Xbox is literally the only gaming platform, apart from his numerous LCD watches, the only gaming platform that he has. Jamie, what's your Steam name?
Alvim, I would imagine.
Yeah. So yeah, send if you've got some, if you want to spread some festive cheer that you don't feel inclined to, but yeah, send Jamie some Steam games.
And I'll probably be playing War Thunder. Although I'm trying to get through my Steam pile of shame. I was looking today and I have, let me just check now, I have 188 games on Steam, and I have finished one of them, I think. So I'm probably going to get through that.
Yeah, I've got 98 and I finished two. Maybe three. A couple of them I started up and they were broken for Mac. Right. I was really fucking irritated.
Although I have just started The Walking Dead, so I might carry on playing through that, which is really good. I'm liking it. So yes, that's what we're all playing. So thanks again for listening. We're going to try and get Sarah on a bit more often as well, you might be pleased to hear. So she's going to become a semi-regular.
A few people will definitely be pleased to hear that. Yeah. Thank you for your tweets, by the way.
Sarah's been getting a lot of love. Sarah's getting a lot of love.
And as such, I'm barricading the doors when I go to bed each night.
Just to clarify that she doesn't read the podcast at sticktwiddlers.com email address, so please stop sending Alan those pictures. It's quite unnerving.
If you want to send them, I mean, you know, let's not be too hasty, Ben. So, yeah, so thanks again for listening. We'll be back in a week's time for the first... Is that someone going there?
Sarah's fucked off already.
Yeah, she's off. She's like, someone's found her.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, don't say that. That's terrifying.
Oh, she's back.
Yeah, hello.
we thought someone had found you already. So thanks for listening. Once again, we will be back in a week's time, which I think will be, let me just check the dates here. I think that will be the first podcast of 2014.
Stick Twiddlers one, not the first podcast.
Not the first one ever, obviously.
It depends how quick we are.
Well, yeah. So, thanks again and goodbye.
Two human sucks.
Bye.
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 You're an idiot.
Found it.